Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Emancipated Radio. My name is Luis Fernando Mises, I'm your host. Today I want to talk about mindfulness. I am also a certified yoga instructor. I teach meditation and I do some shamanic ceremonies. And a lot of people have asked me about mindfulness and meditation and what that entails, and if I could, shed some light on it, because there's a demand. So I want to start with saying what it's not, you know, the via negativa, as you know, Latin term. Meditation and mindfulness is not a weird Eastern idea, you know. It's not worshiping some entity, it's not worshiping the devil. It's not about ending your thoughts completely, because I mean you can't do that anyway. It's has nothing to do with anything religious. So what is it then? It's mainly about finding ourselves. What does that even mean, right? So here's the thing, a lot of times, actually quite often, we are living in autopilot. Oftentimes we are repeating patterns that we learned growing up, and these are patterns, you know, that can be anything and everywhere in life. For instance, like how we react to anger, what we think happiness is, what is success. So we are in this autopilot mode from the belief systems that we grew up with, that most times our parents and people that, you know, were around us as we were growing up transmitted to us. So how we react, and just the word itself, react, that's in itself is part of that belief system, for short BS, that it goes in autopilot. Mindfulness helps us and allows us to step back and create a pause between ourselves and the world. So there is a pause in the way we act, and we no longer react. This is actually a huge finding, because you will find yourself. You will see that you're no longer, a slave to your emotions, a slave to the way of thinking, a slave to those processes and patterns that you picked up as you were growing up. The wonderful idea is that the more that you practice mindfulness, the wider the gap becomes. And that gap is, for instance, stimulus and response. So whatever two kinds of people go through the same thing, they will react differently, they will act differently, they will respond differently. And it's dependent on, you know, their the way they were raised, their philosophy and everything, right? So if we are able to step back and really look at ourselves and recognize what is really us and what has been implanted, we are then able to say, well, this doesn't quite serve the purpose. Maybe I can exchange it for something else. And this is not a metaphysical woo concept. This is something that, you know, you learn in deep psychology classes, that you're able to basically go under the hood and manipulate, change synapses, and be able to recreate how you want to respond to life. Because that's basically, you know, that's what we do. We respond to life. So you get to choose how to respond to life. And this gets even deeper, you know, on the sense of, like, a lot of people say, well, I don't have a choice on how I react, or whom I love, or how I do this, or, well, all of that is bullshit. You do have a way to manipulate and change those things. And that does not mean that you are suppressing feelings or emotions at all. It just means that you are able to recognize the stimulus for what it is, and you get to say, how can I react to this? And then with intention, with full consciousness, you're able to choose how to react. And you become emancipated. You become, you get to learn yourself. So, you know, self-connection. What are the benefits to this? A lot of people say, well, meditation, mindfulness lowers your stress. I want to say that that's actually not accurate. I mean, it is, but it isn't really. what happens is that it increases your threshold. What does this mean? Throughout life, you know, life will never be perfect. Shit will always happen. And, you know, like I was telling you, you're going to be able to learn how to respond. So the input of life, you have two choices. You know, you can remove yourself from that input, or you can just expand your threshold for that input. If you remove yourself from it, you know, you're going to, you see all those people that are just can't wait to, like, get out of a situation and move, and they feel a lot of anxiety and they feel a lot of fear. Well, that's not very resourceful most times. I mean, there's times where you do need to retreat, but what I'm saying is that the more that you practice mindfulness, the more that you will be able to withstand, you know, and without actually hurting you. There is a book that I actually have taught a couple of seminars on called Better Under Pressure. And what the guy basically states is stress is not bad for you. What happens is when we are not prepared for stress, our body doesn't know how to transform that. So when you know that, I think Eckhart Tolle said something about, you know, life is hard. If you know that life is going to be hard, then life is no longer hard. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm getting to with this. Now, your central nervous system can only handle so much, and we need to exercise it just like we exercise our bodies to make it stronger, more, to be able to withstand more of that pressure, because life will continue to get stressful, and you're going to go through a lot of things. You know, you're going to get what you want, and then it's going to go away. Or a lot of times you're not going to get what you want. And in this turn, this will help you regain focus. It would reduce your brain chatter as well, and it would connect you better with your own self. What are some examples of mindfulness? One of them is just walking. A lot of times you can just take a walk, maybe take your shoes off, just be really present with your body and see what the ground feels like on your toes and what the air feels like on your face or your hands. Just it does not mean quieting your mind at all. It's just being present on something that's happening. So it's more like sharpening your focus to, instead of being in 1,000 places at once, you're in one place and you're there and you're strong and you're grounded. The other one is mindful listening. When you're in a conversation and you're able to actually listen to the person without trying to come up with answers to what they're saying, or you know, playing ping pong in the conversation. Well, it's my turn to say something. No, you know, like sitting back and truly listening and connecting with that person. And it may take you a while to get used to this and to get really proficient at it, but that's a great way to really listen to somebody. Another one is upon waking up and before going to bed. This is a practice that I really enjoy doing. You know, just becoming aware of your body and every body part you go through, you know, like your feet, your calves, your knees, your hamstrings, your belly, your gluteus, whatever it is, you know, all the way to your head, your ears. Just becoming really aware. And then you release and you're able to go to sleep easier. And when you wake up, when I wake up, that's kind of what I do. I wake up, I become aware of my body, where everything is, how everything is feeling. And, you know, then I get up and do my morning routine. Another one is just breathing. And that's the most ancient and powerful way to really become mindful. And again, we're not trying to worship anything or trying to seize the action of the mind. You're just breathing and becoming conscious of your breath. That is a really powerful way of mindfulness, and you don't have to sit down for an hour to do this. If you just do it for 10 minutes a day, that's all you really need, especially in today's life, that everything's happening so fast and so hectic. Like I mentioned before, this is not about stopping your thoughts. It's about being present and intentional, sharp focus on one thing. And this does not mean that you're not going to be able to handle other things in life. This actually will help you get better at those things. And to remember that thoughts come and go like the clouds in the sky, and we need to learn how to see which ones are really ours versus the programming that has been inherited. In something, you know, some things that are inherited are good and useful. I don't want to say good, but they're useful. Some others are not useful, they're unresourceful. So you will get to see which ones work for you and which ones don't. Because a lot of times we have contradictory belief systems that make us create anxiety and stress in our own lives. Meditation and mindfulness is used to enhance your mental, emotional, and physical self. What this means is that you, by you being more present, your emotional state is more grounded and your physical self is able to suffer less stress, to be stronger, because your emotional status, your emotional self is not just wearing it down all the time. Most diseases are psychosomatic. They start in the mind and then they manifest in the body. Also, I actually teach this to all of our clients in the consulting firm where I'm a partner at. Anywhere between electrical, nuclear, power plants, hospitals, construction, financial services, and any other corner of the market that we teach, we share this information to be able to help them create high-performing teams. And this is actually one of the coolest things that people just rave about. Something easy will be to find some YouTubes that you can practice with. I can actually link a couple in the comments section just so you can start. And I will start also online classes on how to do this, you know, like a weekly video with some homework for you. And, you know, I don't know, 4 or 6 week classes that will help you really get to a more stable place, a more mindful place. And currently, you know, as I'm able to do Skype coaching for those of you that are interested. And that's what I have for this week, meditation, mindfulness. I hope you like this. This is just the tip of the iceberg. I want to be talking about this a whole lot more in the future because I truly believe that the next natural step for voluntarism is through the and I hate the word spiritual, but, you know, it's in that realm of awareness. So the more aware that we become, the more free that we become. And that's where we're going to be expanding a lot to in the future. I hope you liked this. Please share it if you did. Subscribe to our podcast. And I will see you next week. This is, again, Luis Fernando Mises with Emancipated Human. Peace, love, and voluntarism. Be well.